You know, this morning, let's just dig right into God's word this morning. Let's just go to Exodus 14. Let's start it at verse number 10. You know, we see here in Scripture just a little bit of background. I won't leave you standing real long, but just a little bit of background here before this. We pick up the Scripture in here has after Moses had freed the children of Israel and how they have left. Now, I remind you, the children of Israel has seen the plagues that has been issued that Moses had cast against Pharaoh. They've seen the blood water. They've seen the frogs. They've seen the lice. They've seen the flies, the livestock, the pestilence, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness. Right, they've witnessed this whole events before they've gotten to this point. And they find themselves, you know, they witness the death of the firstborn child. And we pick up in Scripture in here as Pharaoh has agreed basically to release the children of Israel, the slaves, the one they had in bondage and bound. He said, fine, go, get out of here because of all of the plagues that were issued to them beforehand. By God himself that he cast down. Pharaoh at this point was probably a little bewildered and he didn't know what to do, right? So he let the children of Israel go. He said, leave, get out, you can leave. But then once they left and they're escaping Egypt, once they left, Pharaoh finds himself in a little different scenario. He's looking at his projects and everything that he's done and he's like, I don't have no people no more. I don't have no slaves. I don't have no slaves no more at all. So he basically finds himself in a situation where he says, you know, now I'm going to go back after them. You know, I made the wrong decision. I freed them, but now I'm going back after them. So this is where we pick up in Scripture. Okay, verse number 10. Exodus 14, verse number 10. My wife says I got to slow down. So I'm slowing down. Amen. It says, and when Pharaoh draw nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. How many of you ever felt like your enemy was right on your tail? Amen. Marched after them, and they were sore afraid. You know, this sore afraid means they were so afraid. They were to the point where they were just terrified. They were petrified. They were just so afraid because they thought the enemy domain was being executed, right? They would be killed. They were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Before, hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Jesus said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go onto dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horses. You may be seated today. You know, we see this in Scripture as the Israelites, the children of Israel was trapped at the Red Sea. You know, they were freed from the slavery and the bondage that they were under, the oppression that they were under before. They were no longer under the Egyptian rule. They were freed. Moses freed them. And they find themselves in a geographical location where it was virtually impossible to see them move forward. You know, they look forward and it's nothing but the Red Sea in front of them. Now, remind you, the Red Sea is not just like the white water. You know, it was huge. It was you know, like it was to the point where there was no way that they could just walk across the Red Sea or swim even across the Red Sea. So they find themselves trapped. Amen. They find themselves in a situation, a geographical situation, with their enemy on their back, with their enemy closing up behind them, right? We find them in a geographical location in front of them that has them hindered. Now, in that situation, we see that the children of Israel, what's the first thing they do? They you know, they look at Moses and they're like, "What do you mean you brought us all the way out here to die?" Now, remind you, just before that, they seen the plagues that was handed for their freedom, that got them their freedom. Man, I tell you, sometimes as Christians, God will move on our behalf multiple times, and then we'll face one situation, and we feel like he's not going to move again, right? When he says, "I'm there, and I'll move again," right? So we see this in Scripture where the people of the children of Israel, that they're like, we should have just stayed back in Egypt. We should have just died back there, slaving away our whole life and not been free. How many of you know it's a mindset that they had them bound by, right? But what I found the interesting part of this was, is that immediately they were like, "Oh, we should have just stayed there." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still." You know, they were bound by fear at that point. How many of you know that fear is a feeling? Fear is a feeling. So when you feel fearful, I'll get it right, it's a tongue twister. When you fear and you feel, that's a feeling that you feel. I'll get it. Bear with me. So we see this in Scripture that they're literally at the Red Sea, scared to death, thinking it's over. And I know there's people in the house that probably feel like the situation that they're in, their life is over. But I got news for you. It's not over. You hear me? I got news for you. It's not over. And just as God opened the Red Sea and moved a miracle on behalf of the children of Israel, his same anointing and same power has the ability to do that today, right? It has the ability to take a hard situation and turn it around for God's glory and his goodness, amen? So maybe today you feel like the enemy's on your back and you feel like you're trapped in a situation that you don't know how to solve. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. Well, we can turn to God's word. Amen. We can pray that situation in front of us be divided. Amen. You know, the next thing that I see here in Scripture is that immediately they turned back on Moses and they were like, "We should just, you know, I can't believe this." You know, like, and Moses says unto them, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you this day." You know, they were in fear, and he says, fear not. You know, they were getting a green light at the Red Sea. You hear me, church? They were getting a green light at the Red Sea. They were saying, "Move forward." How many of you know that a lot of times our feelings will leave us stuck in situations, in circumstances, when God's saying, "Stand still, but also move on, move forward. Do what you can do and move forward and let God take care of the rest," right? You know, they were terrified, but God was about ready to move. And you may be just right now at the edge of a breakthrough and you can't even see it. Right? The Red Sea split in half. The something that would look completely impossible. Right? But how many of you know we serve a God of impossibilities? We serve a God that can take the impossible and make it possible. Amen. We serve a God that can take things that you couldn't even comprehend or understand. And we serve a God that can say, hey, I'll move on that behalf. Amen. And they walked right through that situation. They walked right through it. It was a feeling of fear. You know, they thought, well, this is it. It's over. How many of you ever felt like it's over? How many of you, be honest, say, if you felt like it's over? I got news for you today. It's not over. Amen. It's not over. It's only the beginning today, right? If you feel like it's over, God says, I can split the Red Sea. Amen. You know, Proverbs 14, verse number 2, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, there's ways that we feel is right, but ultimately, our feelings sometimes will mislead us. We see that the Israelite, or the children of Israel here in this point, we see that because of their fear, because of the situation that they were in, they became so fearful, and they wanted to change their mind. They wanted to go back into slavery. They wanted to basically say, you know, we'll just go back into slavery. And they were so fearful that it almost changed their whole future because of a feeling, right? It wasn't the whole situation, but because of a feeling of fear, they almost stayed where they were at, right? They almost didn't move across that Red Sea. They almost, you know, they almost stayed right where they were at because of a feeling of fear. And sometimes as Christians, we find ourselves in situations like that, that we get fearful and we don't know what to do or where to go. So we find ourselves stuck in situations. But God says, I can move if you'll let me. You know, so I told you that I wanted to talk about feelings a little bit because it was the feeling of fear that was gonna hinder their forward movement. It was the feeling of we'll just go back to Egyptian control. We'll just go back to what we always known. How many of you know that God has greater things for you and the fear of the unknown is what's holding you back? Amen. Do you hear me this morning, church? God has greater things for you, but the fear of the unknown is what's holding you back. It was that emotion. You know, while emotion starts as sensations in our body, feelings are generated from our thoughts about those emotions. You see, feelings is not facts. You hear me, church? Feelings is not facts. You know, they felt so afraid, so they felt like they should go back to what they've always known. But God's saying, I've got something greater for you, right? So operate out of faith and not fear. Operate out of faith and not feelings, because the feelings are not facts. They don't need to rule your life. You see, we take into considerations our feelings on accounts. Everything that we do, we take into consideration the feelings that we have, right? You have feelings for your wife or your husband. You have feelings, right? There's multiple different feelings that we have. You know, there's 8 primary feelings that we experience most of the time on a daily basis or a weekly basis. There's sadness. There's grief, there's sorrow, there's gloom, there's desperation, there's loneliness, there's depression, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's apprehension, there's nervousness, there's dread, there's fright, there's panic. Oh, but there's also joy and happiness and relief. There's bliss, there's delight, there's thrill, and there's love. And there's peace. You see, those are all feelings that we experience personally on our own behalf. And most of us on a daily basis. Right? But what we cannot do, we can take and affect the feelings that we feel. But we cannot allow feelings to hinder our future. We cannot allow the feelings, we can take them into effect, but we can't allow them to guide our actions and our everything that we do. Because if the Israelites would have, if they would have allowed the fear, that feeling, if they would have allowed that feeling to control their life, where would they be today? Back in slavery. Do you hear me, church? If they allowed the feeling to control them, they would be back in slavery. They would never have experienced the true promises that God had. They would have never received the manna. They would have never received the promised land, right? So how many of you know that we cannot live by feelings? We've got to live by trusting God. We trust God over the midst of feelings. You know, Jeremiah 17, verse number 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart, we're talking about feelings here. Your heart, what you feel. We're not talking about the physical muscle in your body today, but we're talking about what you feel. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Lord search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. Amen. How many of you know that sometimes you just can't trust your own heart? You can't trust your own feelings for them to be accurate. You can take them into consideration, but you cannot allow feelings to guide your whole entire life. Because if your life is being guided and directed by just your feelings, how many of you know that you're going to miss the promised land? You're going to miss what God set out for you to miss. If your whole life is guided by feelings, but our whole life has got to be guided by what? Our whole life has got to be guided by the Word of God and the truths that we find in this Bible. And when we base our life off of what God says and what God can do, oh, now we're operating in a whole nother realm, church. Now we no longer have to be fearful. Now we no longer have to feel the way we feel. Now we can feel joyful because we know that joy comes in the morning. Amen? When we rely solely on feelings that guide our life, we will miss the promised land. You know, I can think about when our whole decision-making process that we face on a daily basis is based off of an emotional response. If it's based off of just a feeling, an emotional response. You know, I thought a little bit about Genesis 25:29. When Jacob and Esau, when Esau was out in the field, He was out in the field. He was a man of war, right? He was out in the field, and he comes back in, and he was faint. He was weak, right? He responded with an emotional response, an emotional decision-making response here. And Esau, it says, and Jacob sawed pottage. Jacob was back at the house just making food, just cooking, just chilling, right? Esau was out in the field. Come in, was extremely tired and weak and wore down and exhausted and didn't think he could take one more step. And he responded with an emotional response, an emotional decision of I'm going to give my birthright away for this bowl of chili or pottage. Now, to us today, we would look at that situation and we would say, he was crazy. He gave his birthright up, a double portion of his father's inheritance. He gave his birthright up for an emotional response for a bowl of chili or a bowl of pottage. And Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore has his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils. How many of you know I don't like no lentil beans or nothing like that? He gave him lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. How many of you know that Esau responded to an emotional feeling of desperation and hunger? Do you hear me? And when he responded with an emotional, he wasn't thinking clearly, right? Because we all can see the situation and we can say, now there ain't nobody in their right mind willing to give up a double inheritance, a double portion of his birthright for a bowl of soup, right? There ain't nobody willing to do that. But he did. And why did he do it? Because he was responding by an emotional feeling of need. And when he did that, he lost his birthright. How many of you know that the heart is deceitful above all things, right? Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death." How many know that if we base our life off of feelings, it's not good? It's not good. We'll find ourselves given emotional responses instead of the responses that we should have. You know, Psalms, verse number 119, verse number 105, says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How do you respond? If you're telling me, preacher, if you're sitting here today, if you're telling me, preacher, that I cannot respond with emotional feelings, I've got to respond how way? I've got to respond by the word of God. You see, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, it was because of the word of God. When you know the word of God, no longer are you responding out of fear or anything else, but you can respond out of faith. You no longer have to respond out of an emotional response. How many of you know those super emotional people in your life? And you're like, "Lord, just suck it up. It's fine." Right? Those people that are just, you know, everything is, "Oh, I can't believe it. Oh," you know what I mean? Like, I know people that are emotional. And I hate to say it, but it gets real sometimes, Chris. And you're like, "Lord, you cannot allow your emotions to control you at that point. You have got to allow the word of God to control you. The word is a lamp unto my feet." You see, when we allow God's word to control our decision-making factor, no doubt if Esau would have not responded out of a feeling of desperation for food, and he would have responded out of the word of God, would he have given his birthright up? No. No, he would not have. How many of you know that if the Israelites would have responded, if they would have done that, they would have lost the promised land? They would have been back into slavery. But God said, "Move forward." You know, when we go back into Exodus and we read that, they wanted to go back. But how many of you know Moses, as a good leader, he simply said, "Look, we can't do that. We must move forward." How many of you know we're not going back, but we're going forward, right? And if we can start responding out of faith and not out of fear, when we can start responding and start taking the directions of our life to forward, moving forward for the kingdom, right? Then we can allow us to see the promised land. Because no, we're no longer responding out of fear or feelings or anxiety. How many of you know that there's so many businesses that's never been started because they fear of the unknown? They fear that they couldn't do it. They fear that they don't know how to do everything. How many of you know there's so many things that God has called you to do, but that hinders you because of a feeling? I know people who are called to preach and called to sing and called to minister. I know people who are called to do different things, but they never step out of their comfort zone because they're in fear. Because they're responding with their life with a feeling and not faith. You hear me, church? Now, I'm not saying that every single one of us has those calls on our life. Because there's a lot of people who are called just to be servants. There's a lot of people who are called to just to be a witness in their workforce. Right? There's a lot of people who are called to do that. But how many of you, when you think about sharing your faith with somebody at work, what's the first thing you feel? You respond out of feelings, right? I can't share my faith because you're fearful. What are you fearful for? Now, I'm guilty. There's been times the Lord's told me to pray with somebody, and I didn't do it. Well, you think, why wouldn't you do it? Because I was allowing my feelings to control my actions. I wasn't allowing my faith to control my actions, but I was allowing my feelings to control my actions. How many of you know that feelings are like, they're kind of like the sea, where a tide will come in and a tide will go out. How many of you know that feelings, we will feel one way one day and feel another day, another day. Another way, another day. Right? You know, so if we respond our life out of feelings, your life is going to be a roller coaster. So if you're sitting back and you're saying, preacher, my whole life has been a complete roller coaster, and every decision and every feeling that I ever felt or do, I'm responding out of those feelings. How many of you know that your life is probably going to be one of these? But if you start responding out of faith instead of a feeling, then, yeah, you may feel one way, but you're not going to act on it. You're going to act out of faith. You know, the Israelites, they didn't act on that fear. They didn't go back to slavery, even though they felt like they should. They didn't go back. They responded out of faith. They moved forward. Moses stretched forth his rod. The sea split wide open. It looked like desperation, but God says, in the midst of desperation, I'm in your presence. In the midst of no circumstance where you think you're going to die, you think it's over, God says, it's not over. I'll split the Red Sea for you. And they walked over on dry land. You know, I like that scripture when it says they walked over on dry land. Because when they walked over, I mean, I've been through some rivers and some ponds that's dried up over the years. And you go out, and I'm telling you, even though there's no absence of water, that ground is still pretty muddy. But God says they walked over on dry land, right? So that's the God that we serve. Now, if they would have responded out of feelings, they would have been in slavery. How many of you today are responding out of feelings and not faith? But no, what I'm saying today is we have to start responding out of faith and not fear or feelings or emotions. I know churches that operate out of emotions. It's all emotionalism, right? They'll just put on a good show, right? Emotionalism. But I'm telling you, when you operate out of the divine grace of God, you can be tired, you can be weary, you can respond to situations with the faith to know that God's going to get you through anything. You hear me? Now you're no longer emotional. Now you might feel those feelings, and I'm not saying that those feelings aren't real. I mean, no doubt, the Israelites, they had those feelings. I mean, that was real. I mean, the feeling of fear was real. I mean, they were bound by that feeling. The feeling is real, but the thing is they didn't let that run their life or direct them to exactly to respond out of that. They responded out of faith. Today, we're moving forward. In the spite of our fear, in spite of our anxiety, right? We're not going to allow the feelings, those feelings that I read them off, eight of them. We're not going to allow those feelings to give us the response into our life.